Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Well, the UK Chancellor of the Exchequer, Rachel Reeves, will deliver the budget later today, in less than an hour and a half, in fact. It'll be the first Labour budget in over a decade. And while speculation continues about what will and will not be included, there are plenty of measures that we do know about already. Let's get the latest now. I'm joined on the line by George Parker, who's political editor with the Financial Times. Good morning, George.
Morning.
So there's a lot riding on this politically and financially for Rachel Reeves and for the Labour Party. We do know that the minimum wage is going to go up. We know that there will be caps on that there will be an increase in your single bus ticket from £2 to £3. People, is it fair to say, are expecting to be worse off in general after 12:30 today?
I think that's a fair assumption. If you look at these word clouds that opinion pollsters do about how people feel about this budget, you get words like worried, alarmed, concerned, scared. And certainly the sort of drumbeat ahead of this has been quite ominous. You know, we know that there are going to be big increases in taxation, which we're just trying to raise £40 billion or so from either tax rises or a few spending cuts. And now, although some of those tax rises are going to land on employers in the first instance, we all know that taxes on employers inevitably end up being passed on to their employees through lower wage rises in the future. So, yes, I mean, it's going to be a tough budget for sure, but also a very historic one. And as you say, absolutely crucial for the success of this new government.
Mm-hmm. So what does she need to do? What is she trying to achieve?
This is an unusual budget in that Rachel Reeves and Keir Starmer have quite a rare commodity in politics, or they seem to at least, which is time. They've just won a big landslide election victory. There's another 4 years until the next election. So what they're trying to do is to do something which is to take tough decisions now, as you normally do after an election, with the hope that the benefits will feed through in the longer term. So stabilising the public finances, that's a big theme today. That's what the tax rises are intended to do, to cover some of the unfunded spending that the previous government had left this government, and also to try and avoid a return to austerity, and basically to patch up Britain's crumbling public services, notably the health service. The other bit of it is a big increase in borrowing to pay for capital investment. So this is investment in things that will hopefully make the British economy grow more quickly in future. So things like roads, railways, green energy projects, as well as things like new hospitals and schools. So those are the two big things. So it's a long-term budget. They think it's worth the risk. The big question is, you know, how long will it take for the benefits to feed through to the punters? And will it do so before the time of the next election?
And they're walking a tightrope here, aren't they? Because they did promise that there would be no increased taxes. They said in their campaign before the election that they had no plans for increased taxes. So they would be carefully watched on that front.
Absolutely. I mean, I think at the very least, you can say that the Labour Party was economical with the truth about what they intended to do if they won the election. Conservatives would say they were lying through their teeth. Certainly, if you were a voter, you would have had no idea at all that this government was about to announce the biggest increase in taxes in a generation. They would say, the Labour Party, and Rachel Reeves will say, that this is partly because they didn't know how bad the books were and the Tories concealed some stuff. But nevertheless, a lot of this is about political choices that Labour are making, whether it's giving people a big increase in public sector pay or investing in things like hospitals and schools. You know, these are things you would expect a Labour government to do, but it certainly wasn't what they were promising to voters ahead of July the 4th.
And Keir Starmer has made a big play of saying, look, it's populist to do the easy thing. We can't do the easy thing. We have to do the hard things before we reap the benefits. Is that message getting through?
He will hope it's getting through. At the moment, as I said, it's not really resonating with voters. I mean, they feel a bit apprehensive, as I mentioned. Consumer confidence has fallen. Business confidence has fallen. And, you know, people have been waiting an awful long time for this budget. So I think a lot of uncertainty has crept in. So he will be hoping that the voters will look at this. And he likes to use this analogy of fixing the foundations of a house and fixing the dam and basically getting back on a stable footing. And then the benefits will start to feed through in the coming years. But there's always that fatal gap, or potentially fatal gap, between announcing difficult decisions and the benefits feeding through. And that's when politicians often get into trouble, as MPs nervously look over their shoulder at the next election coming down the track.
Mm-hmm. And are the Tories, they're clearly pushing back against all of this, but are they too biding their time in a sense?
Well, they are in a sense, because we're waiting for the Tories to choose their next leader to replace Rishi Sunak. That announcement will be made on Saturday in just 3 or 4 days' time. And this is actually going to be Rishi Sunak's farewell appearance at the dispatch box as Tory leader. So, yes, they are biding their time in that respect. And I think they hope this will offer them a glimpse of a route back to power. The idea that the Labour Party, in their eyes at least, has been not straight with the voters and is putting in up taxes when they suggested they wouldn't have to go up very much. So I think they see that as an opportunity. But it's a long, long way back for the Tories. And, you know, they're reduced to a rump in Parliament. They're still trying to work out what direction they're going in the future. A lot of people are thinking, certainly, that Rishi Sunak will probably head off to California or some such place quite soon, shortly after he does his farewell appearance in the House of Commons.
To do what?
Well, who knows? I mean, he previously lived out in California. He was a tech bro, wasn't he? He worked in finance over there. He insists, by the way, that he intends to see out this Parliament, but I think many Tory MPs would be very surprised if he was still here in 3 or 4 years' time.
Of course, he doesn't need to work, does he?
He certainly doesn't. It's not as if he personally is very rich, but of course, fortunately for him, he married into one of the richest families in India. So
he'll be okay.
He certainly doesn't need to work.
Yeah,
he'll be fine.
He'll be all right. He'll survive in California if he wants to lie back in the sun for a while. Now, perhaps more worryingly, though, than any pushback from the Tories for the Labour Party, they are getting a lot of grief already from small business, particularly on this minimum wage increase. And there are so many businesses telling media outlets that they will not survive this.
Yes, I mean, that's one of the big features of this budget. I mean, the Labour Party, Keir Starmer and Rachel Reeves, were determined before the election to win over business, get business support, and say they're on the side of wealth creators, entrepreneurs, and all the rest of it. But if you look at the cumulative effects of some of the things that are being announced, like a rise in the national minimum wage, new workers' rights, which have just been announced, plus this new tax on employers, all those things add to business costs. And you can see people are starting to get a bit nervous about this and wondering whether indeed they were sold a bit of a pup before the election. So there's all of this stuff involves a big political risk for Rachel Reeves this afternoon. And as I mentioned, they're hoping this is a budget for the long term and that people will see that stabilising things, fixing the foundations is the right thing to do. And by the time of the next election, people will start to see the benefits feeding through.
Well, it needs to go well for her because they've had a really short honeymoon period, haven't they, George? Not least because of the own goals that they scored when we heard about the series of gifts that Keir Starmer received from wealthy benefactors, he and others in the Labour Party. If this doesn't go well for her today, it'll just solidify those poor polling numbers that they've had of late.
Yeah, the 4 month delay between the election and the budget has created this dangerous hiatus, a sort of vacuum into which a whole load of negative stories have poured, including, of course, the freebie suits and the freebie gifts, the misstep about the withdrawal of winter fuel payments from 10 million pensioners, and just a general sense of doom and gloom around the new government, which is not what you would normally expect from a government coming in. The objective, obviously, from Keir Starmer is to try to fix in voters' minds that this is all the fault of someone else, namely the Tories. The downside of it has been that people have started to feel, hang on a second, we thought we were going to get sort of a bit of optimism, a bit of change, and all we're getting is more doom and gloom. And you know, his approval ratings, Keir Starmer's approval ratings, have suffered the most precipitous drop of any prime minister in modern times. I think a net drop of about 40% on one opinion poll since the election.
All right. Well, as we speak, Rachel Reeves has left Downing Street and she is on her way to Parliament to deliver that budget at 12:30 today, Labour's first budget in 14 years. George Parker, thank you very much for joining us. I see in the last few minutes now confirmation from Spain that the number who have died in the flash flooding has increased to 62. And once again, the warning from the regional authorities near Valencia that that number is likely to rise because the rescue workers, as we heard from Sarah Morris, are only just getting in because it's still raining. Some of the floodwaters are receding slightly, but there are many areas where they haven't managed to reach people who are trapped. Coming up next on the programme, has the government delivered on their promises when it comes to rail infrastructure? We'll discuss that after this.
Get in touch on WhatsApp 0870 32 32 32.